Of course, tonight is the first of Elul, so 1 month from now, of course, we'll be celebrating Rosh Hashanah. We've been discussing, there is an ancient machlokas going back to the times of the Gaonim about fasting on Rosh Hashanah. And you can really see things either way. You know, one perspective is that how can you fast on Rosh Hashanah? It's a yantif. There's a concept of a samachta v'chagecha, and even though, of course, Rosh Hashanah isn't exactly Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, nonetheless, right, it's a yantif, it's a mikra kodesh. There's the idea of kachehu b'machal, and not only that, but there's a psukim in Nehemiah which describe when Ezra led the Jewish people back to the land of Israel, so they found that the Jews there were almost completely assimilated. They had no idea what was going on in terms of the basic structure of the Jewish holidays, and they were very depressed that they had completely lost touch with Judaism. And Ezra and the Levium tell the Jewish people, very fascinating, that they shouldn't cry and they shouldn't mourn. Ki kadosh hayom ladonenu chedvas Hashem himauzchem lechu ichlu mashmanim ushtu mamtakim v'shulchu manos leinachol no. They tell them, don't, you know, mourn. Today is a day for celebration and festivity. We just have to turn things around. So it sounds like fasting should be prohibited on Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, the Truma Sadashin quotes views that maybe it's acceptable, maybe it's in a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah, because even if Rosh Hashanah is a chag, tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesa liyom chagenu, ki chok v'yisrael hu mishpah lelu Yaakov, Rosh Hashanah is a chag, but still, as the Rambam describes it, yimei yira, tshuva, ufachad, in the days of Pachat, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav, God is, you know, deciding life and death matters. You can understand if somebody wanted to be Sharoi B'tainis, or maybe there's even a mitzvah of so doing. Maybe that's probably the unique way of observing Rosh Hashanah as opposed to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So our basic practice is, you know, our community, so we follow the position in the Gaonim that we're not going to be fasting on Rosh Hashanah. But on the other hand, that other view has certain echoes in the halacha. So I'm going to try to articulate a couple of the different perspectives that we really find that do highlight Rosh Hashanah not as a typical yantif. Number one, of course, it doesn't have a halal. And that expression that I used a second ago of Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Suchim Lefanav, when the Gemara says, wait a second, Rosh Hashanah is a yantif, we should be saying halal. So are you going to say halal? Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Suchim Lefanav. So that's something that needs to be taken into account as well. That's number one. Number two, right, there is a tradition, okay, again, in Sifrei Halacha, it's not necessarily considered to be the most authoritative, but there's a tradition that some people have, right, of not even sleeping at all on Rosh Hashanah, right? That Rosh Hashanah is not a day that a person is going to go to sleep. Now, generally speaking, regular Shabbos or Yontif, right, there's nothing wrong with a person going to sleep. In many cases, that could be an expression of Oneg Shabbos, or what we call the Chatzi Lachem factor of Yontif, that a person should enjoy themselves, and if they're going to enjoy a little bit of menucha, what would be wrong with that? But you have this tradition on Rosh Hashanah that you're not supposed to sleep. You should be aware at all times as a Yom Hadin, right? And to go to sleep, so to speak, in the presence of the judge, you know, I've never witnessed this myself, but it doesn't take a great imagination to conjure up a scene where a defendant is on trial in a courtroom and he falls asleep in the middle of the proceedings. I think the judge would have something to say about that. The judge would say, you know, I don't think you're taking this too seriously if the defendant's taking a nap in the middle of a trial, if it's a capital case and he's supposed to be, you know, on trial for his life. So you could understand a little bit in terms of the origin of that minhag, even if, again, halachically speaking, we're not talking about something that's incredibly authoritative. So there are different practices that some of the Rishonim, they tried to sort of, as always, find the kind of a middle ground. On the one hand, they weren't going to fast on Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, we're not going to say halal. But they would try to reduce a little bit of their enjoyment in terms of the food that they would eat on Rosh Hashanah. Again, that sounds like against the psukim in the Chamiyah and Perek Ches of Ichlu Mashmanim Ushtu Mamtakim. But you can understand how we're trying to find our way on Rosh Hashanah. We're trying to find exactly what the proper, you know, theme should be. And if somebody really felt that the only way that they could observe Rosh Hashanah was through fasting, that too would have some kind of a basis in the halacha. What's really fascinating about that is that, okay, we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah for the most part. We don't fast on Shabbos Shuvah. But what is very well established in the halacha is that the other days of the Asara Simei Tshuva were actually meant to be fast days. Remember, that's how we calculated why you need at least 4 days of Slichos prior to Rosh Hashanah, because the days that you're not going to fast are Erev Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shuvah, and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So you have kind of like these 4 fast days of the Asara Simei Tshuva to make up. That's why there's a minimum of at least 4 days of Slichos, according to the Minhag of Ashkenaz. So what you see about this is that even if we're not fasting on Rosh Hashanah, could you imagine the intensity of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva if this was still practiced, where people were literally fasting the entire time, except for Erev Yom Kippur and Shabbos, and maybe the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as well. It's a remarkable thing to think about that kind of an intensive experience, but even if we're not exactly holding in that place, it's still something that we can aspire to, we could appreciate, in terms of, again, as the Gemara says, Sifrei Chaim, V'Sifrei Mesim, P'suchim Lefanav, when everything is being decided, Kol Bai Olam, over in Lefanav, Kivnei Maron, that literally everybody is passing in front of God, one at a time, single file, as a sheep coming out of a pen. So that already is something that we have to take very seriously, and you can understand why somebody would want to pull out all of the stops, up to and including fasting in some cases, for the sake of being marbe bezuchuyos, to try to generate as many merits as one possibly could in the context of Yemei Hadin. Rabbi Hanani.